pretty important. Pretty important. Could easily get frustrated with, I think we had, if I'm not mistaken, 4-3 and outs. And I know we didn't flinch. We talked through the 15. We talked through what we had. We came back to some things, hit them the second time that we didn't hit them the first time. But I thought it was pretty impressive of our guys to just stick with a plan, just like last week, and not get frustrated. That was a big key, not getting frustrated again.
Mike Mularkey talking about their 33-27 victory yesterday at Nissan Stadium over the Seahawks. Back here on 3D, let's bring in Jim Wyatt from Titans Online. Does a great job, has been covering this team for a very long time. Go check out all their stuff constantly on that website. Jim, how you doing? Good morning.
Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I hope you didn't go over to West End on Saturday.
I'm always over at West End with Vanderbilt plays if I'm in town, and I've certainly seen some bad ones and seen some good ones of late. I was one of the bad ones, no doubt, and just glad I only have to play them one more time this year.
Oh, very nice. That's way to end on a positive. Okay, the second halves, the last 2 weeks, have been the Titans' friend. Why has it worked out? Whatever Mike Mularkey and the coaching staff are saying, or the players during halftime, those speeches are working because they've come out both times the last two games and looked like a different team in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it's just patience and sticking with the plan and knowing that what's maybe not working in the first half, if you keep pounding away, it's going to open up. You're going to be able to wear some teams down, and I think that's what the Titans have been able to do. I mean, that's what they did in Jacksonville. They scored 31 of 37 points in the second half of that game and then scored 24 points on Sunday when they kind of, I think, wore the Seahawks down. I mean, I think certainly the Titans benefit from being a team that is in great condition, has dealt with these heat, the hot practices, and I think on Sunday, I think that kind of showed in the end.
Do you think Seattle's actions early on in the game, in particular the first quarter, and how much energy was spent in the antics going into, and I realize that's their style, right? The Legion of Boom, and that's what they bring to the table. They're going to try to intimidate you. They're going to run their mouth. That's what they do. But considering what you just said, the temperatures and how hot it was, it doesn't feel like that in Seattle, especially this time of year. Do you think that played a factor? I mean, we're talking about two plays in the second half. It's not very often, if ever, you see teams do that to Seattle, and I'm talking about DeMarco Murray and Rishard Matthews.
Yeah, man, that didn't help their cause. I mean, I think, obviously they played their high last week was 65 degrees, and they played against the 49ers, and Titans practice all week. Temperatures around 90. They just played a warm game in Jacksonville. So I do think the wearing them down and the heat certainly helped and worked in the Titans' favor. But more, I think it was just the Titans just were relentless with their pass rush and took advantage of a Seahawks offensive line that just had trouble protecting Russell Wilson, had him on the run. And I think the Titans on offense just were able to wear him down, with the run blocking, and also able to protect Mariota where he was comfortable in the second half. And the blocking was good. I mean, both on the Rishard Matthews catch and go and on the Marco Murray run, Taylor Wan had a couple of great blocks. It was good blocking downfield. And I think the Titans just kind of wore them down in the second half.
Now, Jim, do you see, do you believe, let's just say that, do you think moving forward because of DeMarco Murray's, the carries he's had over the last 4 or 5 years, them running he and Derrick Henry the way they did yesterday, that's going to be the formula moving forward? Because to me, I think if they continue to give, or if they want to go this route of giving DeMarco Murray the ball 25 to 30 times, he's not going to be worth anything toward the end of the season. I think if they give it to him anywhere around 18 to 22 times and then Derrick Henry the same amount, I think he will be better used toward the end of the season for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, man, I think it's going to be a week-to-week thing. I mean, but one thing, I mean, this is the most popular question I've gotten since Derrick Henry was drafted, and the answers always remain the same in Mike Mularkey's mind, is that that Marco Murray is going to be the team's workhorse back, and that Derrick Henry is going to play and he's going to get opportunities, and maybe depending on how games go, he could get more work. But I think Murray, showed yesterday. I mean, going over 100 yards again, and that long run against Seattle, that he's still got some gas left in the tank. I do understand that as the season goes on, this guy's in his seventh year. He's got over, about 1,500 carries in his career. I mean, I know it makes some sense to not wear him out early. And if Derrick Henry is able to be successful, then you do that. And I do think there are going to be some games this year where Henry gets more work than he does in other weeks. But it really is going to be a week-to-week endeavor.
Now, is there any word on Corey Davis's timetable? I know it's sort of week to week, but the receiving core, they're down in men. Even though I believe Rashard Matthews is the bona fide number one for this team, and he's proven week in and week out that he's going to make the tough catch, I think eventually they're going to need that second guy. I think it could be Taywan Taylor. Maybe it's Corey Davis when he comes back, but they need someone to take some of the pressure off of Rashard Matthews. And it can't be a guy that's going to, catch 10-yard passes or average, 10, 11 yards a catch. It has to be a guy that poses a threat down the field. So is there any timetable on Corey Davis coming back?
Well, I mean, I think they're just hoping to, get him back sooner rather than later. But it's not really anything set in stone. I mean, they're going to be careful with him. I mean, he didn't do anything in practice all last week. And, as you guys know, I mean, he missed the entire preseason. Then he came back. I thought he looked great against the Raiders. And then he re-aggravates it down in Jacksonville. And the last thing they want to do is get him back out there too soon and then have to shut him down for an extended period of time. I think what they did is they knew he had an issue with the hamstring. They realized that if you try to push it too much and too much of a strain on it, then you could open up bigger problems. So he's going to change the offense when he comes back. I mean, I agree, Derek. I mean, you put him out there, he can stretch the field, he can go up and fight, and he can win one-on-one battles. It looks completely different with him out there. But they're just going to have to try to get by without him until he's ready to go. And, I just have a hunch. I mean, I just the way they have dealt with things before, I've seen so many hamstring injuries in the past. Now, usually once a guy starts practicing and then maybe always try to give him an extra week. And until I see him on the practice field, I'm just not going to really have a good gauge on how long he's going to be out, because I think they need to see it from him. He needs to see it and be able to feel good about himself before they can roll with him.
Jim, I hate to do this on the air, but we've had loaded lines since we took to the microphone at 10 o'clock, so we had a lot of calls. Is there any chance – We're not done. Can we come back? Can you hang through a short break and field a couple more questions, or do you need to roll?
I sure can. No, I'm cool. Yeah, I'm just hanging out here at the stadium waiting for taping all access. So I'm okay right now.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. We'll come back more with him next on 3D. We're having a lot of fun at Fitness 1440 here today. 411 Metroplex Drive, right off the Harding exit, right behind the Exxon gas station. If you come in here and say you heard about Fitness 1440 on the game and you are the 27th person, Melissa is in charge of keeping track of everybody who comes through the door. If you're the 27th person, I don't know how they came up with that. Maybe there's a story behind that. You will receive a six-month membership for free, just for coming in and saying you heard it here. Also today, because they're celebrating their one-year anniversary, you can get a membership first month for $14.40. Willie, Jim Wyatt is on the line with us, TitansOnline.com.
So, Jim, I was thinking about this, watching the Titans do what they, I think, try to do most weeks, try to take the run away. They've done that successfully the last couple of weeks. And then it becomes, can you stop the passing attack of the other team? It was a little easier with Jacksonville. Russell Wilson, they pressured him well. He's so elusive, he made a lot of plays. But I still like what I'm seeing overall with the secondary. Particularly, I like watching Kevin Byard battle with Jimmy Smith I think he's holding his own well, and I really like Adoree Jackson's development. Tell me what you think about those two guys in particular.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think both those guys getting better. I mean, Byard just has played so much faster. Just seems like he is where he's supposed to be on every play. I saw some stat from Pro Football Focus this morning that maybe Russell Wilson, you know, threw his way four times and completed maybe one for 8 yards. And the first several weeks of the season, he just has been there to break up plays and get hands on the football. He has emerged as one of the playmakers on this defense, and I think it's just a matter of time before he makes one of those kind of game-changing plays, whether it's an interception going the other way or a strip and recovery in a big situation. Adoree Jackson, I think he has settled in now as a starter. I think he is getting more confident as he goes. Some of those guys in the locker room after the game were not real happy that they gave up some yards and touchdowns late. But that was after they got a lead. And I think that, when the game has been tight, I think that Adoree Jackson has played well. I mean, he does a great job of finding the ball in flight. He can run with these guys. He's just kind of a feisty player. He's got a bad break. I mean, shifting to the returning game. I mean, this is two times count the preseason where he's taken one to the house and then is called back because of a penalty. So he adds an extra element to the game, certainly as a returner as well.
I don't know if you got a chance to go back and look at the replay. I'm sure it'll come up today in the press conference. But on Adoree Jackson's touchdown run, initially on the telecast, or I think it was because the referee called out 33, they showed 33's block, and it was clearly a legal block. Then they went back a few plays later and found 32, and it was a little bit more of a questionable block in the back. I could see it. I still think it was kind of a tic-tac call. It is unfortunate for Adoree Jackson because I do think when that ball's in the air and he's about to catch it, there's a belief that there's a chance for a big play every time he touches it.
Yeah, and if it opens up for him, I mean, I like his chances in the open field making a guy miss and running by him. You know, the Fluellen, you're right, Willie. I mean, it was Fluellen who they called it on, and Malarkey said one thing he can't do is, a lot of times you'll see guys immediately put their arms up like, hey, I didn't do it. Well, that's a sure sign that you either did it or you could be accused of doing it. And he said he can't be putting his hands up and making giving body language that, hey, don't call me on this, because that sometimes earns you a flag. I'll be anxious to see what Malarkey says today. I can't imagine. I mean, I'm sure on about every punt return out there you could probably throw a penalty, but I've seen a lot worse than that, and I thought it came out late, and I thought you just hate to see a play like that called back because of a play that I don't think the guy would have made anyway.
But in the grand scheme of things, Jim, you would have to say that it hasn't turned into a spectacular strength yet, but the arrow is pointing in the right direction. The special teams overall was a disaster a year ago early in the season, and now not only is it stabilized, it really looks like it has become a positive.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because Jackson brings a different element, certainly in the return game. And then, the guys who were good last year have been good again. I mean, Brett Kern averaged 56.8 yards a punt yesterday. It was the highest on six punts. It was the highest game average in his career. Ryan Succop made four field goals again. He's got a streak inside the 50 that's the second longest in NFL history. I think these guys are covering better. I mean, guys like Brendan Trawick regularly gets down the field, makes plays. Several other guys, on the coverage teams are just, keeping guys in check. And I think it's just a matter of time before they bust one of these punt returns is going to count, too.
I also think a theme to look at is how the young players are contributing. They don't have to be spectacular because I think the roster overall is better. But you look at Jonnu Smith chipping in. He's got the touchdown. He's made a couple of big plays. Taywan Taylor's chipping in. Jayon Brown is in there in the game plan making plays. We just talked about Jackson. So the rookie class in particular, and still waiting for Corey Davis, hopefully, to emerge. But I like what they're getting out of their young nucleus of players here, and they're only going to get better.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think that Jonnu Smith leads the team in touchdowns. With two and touchdowns in back-to-back games. And the other guys you hit on are definitely playmakers. They got a lot of second-year guys. I mean, that are in the lineup and are making plays too, whether it's Fired or obviously Conklin or Derrick Henry or LaShawn Sims. I mean, this team has some great veteran leadership. You know, we see that when we look at their captains and see it when we look at the five Pro Bowlers from a year ago. But there's a really good mix of young guys that kind of brings a useful exuberance to this team, and the vets love seeing this energy from these guys, and they're not only playing, but they're making plays.
Jim, finally, you know, you saw all that happened yesterday with the anthem, and I heard Mike Mularkey's comments afterward, and I think the biggest thing he said was the team wanted to be unified. They wanted to all do the same thing. You probably talked to some different people. I'm just curious the feedback you got from the locker room. It seemed to be, from the team's standpoint, handled the way they wanted it. Did it go the way they wanted it to go? I guess that's the question.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's a tough situation, and I certainly understand, you know, the concern on each side. But I don't think, you know, the team wanted a situation where this guy's, you know, getting singled out because he stood or he sat down or he raised a fist or he took a knee. I mean, I think this team certainly is unified in wanting to come out as a team, showing that they are together. It was not any sign of disrespect toward the military. I can guarantee you that. I mean, I hear Mike Mularkey answer those questions, and for people even to question that with him. I mean, he has a father that served in the Army and served in World War II. He has a brother that served 20 years in the Army. You know, he's got a nephew that's a Green Beret in the Army Special Forces. I mean, this team has a great relationship with Fort Campbell. There's a I Am Bastogne sign that hangs in the team meeting room, and there's pictures of the military and all kinds of signs of their great relationship with Fort Campbell over the course of the team's time here. So this team has so much respect for the military and for the soldiers and everyone who's fought for this country. It has nothing to do with that. It was this team wanting to show that they're on the same page and together after some comments that were made that is trying to drive people apart.
Jim, really appreciate it. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out on Sunday with the Texans losing a close one to the Patriots. So Indy and Houston 1-2, Jacksonville and Tennessee 2-1 in the division. So another divisional game, another big one. We'll certainly talk about that throughout the course of the week. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, appreciate it. You have a good week.
You too. Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. That'll do it for hour number two. When we come back, we'll head east. We'll head to Knoxville. We'll bring in Vince Ferrara from WNML. UT barely defeats UMass. We'll discuss it next on 102.5 The Game.